Welcome to the Fondcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. It has to be this way. It has to be this slow. It has to be this meticulous. And the strategy has to move at a pace that's going to make it easier for the Patriots to do their jobs without causing too much collateral damage. Like, we're not fighting an enemy that we know. We're not in lands that we know where the dividing line is. Like, this is outside, and everyone on this side of the line is on outside. And over that line, everyone on that side of the line is the enemy. This is not a regular war. It's not a regular fight where you can clearly identify who's with you and who's not. This is a fight where it's irregular. Your enemy is blended in with you. We're not fighting Iranians in Iran. And we're not fighting the Chinese in China. We're fighting Americans in America who have blended in with other Americans. Terrorist Americans in our country that don't look like terrorists because they're wearing a $2,000 three-piece suit and they're wearing $3,000, you know, alligator shoes, whatever. Are you hearing me? They don't look like terrorists. They don't talk like terrorists. They have Ivy League degrees. They run mega corporations. They create the culture that we live in today. Your smartphones, your cell phones, your gadgets, your fashion, your music, the TV shows that you watch, the movies that you watch. They create the culture. They're culture creators. They call them cult creators. And they create the culture for us. They're idolized. They're not walking around in turbans. They're not yelling death to America. Some of them are, but they're not yelling that out there. They're waving the flag. They're not, you know, speaking Chinese and pointing at you with a gun in their hand. They're waving American flags. They're preaching about equality. They're preaching about, you know, having the country reset to a better form or better version. They're preaching about, you know, ending racism. They're preaching about ending debt. They're preaching about ending all kinds of things. They're speaking American, but they have free speech as well, so they can also gripe about America and still not be considered un-American in the eyes of the people, at least optically. We're not fighting a regular war. Therefore, this war cannot be over the same way. You can't just rush in there with, you know, metaphorically speaking, you can't rush in there with military personnel, armed people, and just come in there and just ransack the whole place. Because if you do that, you're going to kill people who are not a part of it. Because maybe someone in this guy's family isn't one of them. Maybe they're one of us. Or maybe the neighbor is one of us. Maybe all the neighbors are one of us. And he lives amongst them. And he's in Washington. Or he's in his state, you know, office somewhere in some state. And maybe he lives in a complex with everyone in that building is just, you know, an American. They may have their crazy views about the country, but they're still American. You know, it's not a crime to not like America, you know, y'all. It's not a crime to not like, you know, this country. It's not a crime to speak out against it. We're free. You know, either we believe in the Constitution or we don't. we don't have to like it, but it's not like they're not un-American for saying that. As far as they're losing their citizenship over that, they have free speech to be a complete fool. But the terrorists out there are the ones who are trying to change laws, overpower the people. Still, we can go on. That's actually a long list of names, or rather, of actions that make up a terrorist, in my opinion. But my point is, you can't just send metaphorically a nuke over there, a bomb over there. You can't just drop mortars everywhere, because you're going to kill, you know, multiple innocent Americans to take out one terrorist that's in a business suit down in Washington somewhere. It's irregular warfare. And not only that, these people have been there for a long time. They blended into our society for years. And they've been there so long, they have so many things in place to protect them from anything that we could do swiftly. Dirty bombs, nuclear bombs. They have satellites that can scorch the earth. I know you're saying, well, the military is on our side, right? Yes, but that doesn't mean that they don't have some rogue idiot that would use a satellite against us, or if they wouldn't use the Italian satellite, the British satellite, they have them too, you know. And so we have these things happening in America where the people are getting frustrated with what they're seeing here, and they want to see change now. But the problem is, you can't move too fast, or you're going to not have a country to lead when it's over. Will it work? Is it a victory if you kill half the people that you're trying to save? Well, it's not fine. They're going to do that anyway with the vaccine. Says some doctors who are going off of a theory. They're going off of a theory. They have no idea if what they're saying will happen. No idea. And how many times are they ever right when they predict mass anything? You name one time in human history since you've been alive when they have said, okay, we're going to lose 100,000 people here, and we don't even come like to a third of that. Not even a tenth of that. Did we lose 20 million people yet from COVID? We haven't even lost a million yet in America from COVID. Not only that, they revised the numbers down to 5,000 that had COVID and nothing else. And everybody else had other things like heart attack, like a car crash. They were literally giving deaths to COVID to people who bashed their head through a windshield in a car crash. I mean, if COVID was killing people so much, why revise it down? Why disguise the freaking death like that? And I believe that they're doing the same thing on the other side of the fence. There are extremes on both sides, but these are Republican doctors. You act like there weren't Republicans that just helped Joe Biden, the fake Joe Biden, win the election. You act like there wasn't a whole bunch of them. There was only 9 senators, or rather it was 7 senators, who voted to object. Over 50, you know, basically 50 senators for the GOP. And only 7 of them stood by our POTUS? Only 7? And you want to act like it's impossible for a right-wing doctor or scientist to make crap up to make Trump look like he's on the same side as deep state. Irregular warfare. Information warfare. And we have to make sure we move using strategy and not emotion. Well, you know, I'm still on Facebook, y'all. I don't want to promote it too much, but, you know, I have been there for a couple of days. I'm going to get banned again. I'm actually trying to get banned. And for some reason, they're not banning me. Imagine that. I was there before for years and in the last couple of years and trying to not get banned by saying things that were truthful, but were against the rules of that website. And now I hate Facebook so much. Now I literally hate Facebook. I'm not even playing. I hate that place. Even the people on Facebook get on my nerves. Not everyone. You know, the ones who don't get on my nerves, you know who you are. The ones on there who are the trolls, you know, the moronic trolls with IQs below the equator, those are the ones that can, you just lost your credibility. Okay. Then get up, hit the unfriend button and go the other way and have a good day. I mean, why are you here? Anyway, so Facebook, that was a rant. Facebook is getting my nerves. So I'm trying to get banned now on Facebook and I can't get banned. And I probably will this morning or at some point in time, but you know, it's not happening yet. So for now, I'll promote it for now. You know, in case you want to catch me there. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/StephanRobato. I'll probably be in Facebook jail soon or Facebook banning. And if I get banned again and Trump comes out with his network, you won't see me on there again. Also, t.me is where I'm at mostly. Telegram, which is t.me/StephanRobato. I'm there more than I'm on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you're getting the same thing on Telegram. If you're on Telegram, the same thing on Facebook. I might post something different on Facebook than Telegram at times, only because Facebook hasn't heard it before because I haven't been on there in 30 days. So, or they're a different audience and they require a little bit more. You got to hold their hand a little longer because these people, you know, just seem to not understand anything. The rest of the ones on Telegram seem to get it right away. Or if they don't get it, they ask questions and they're not being jerks about it. So I really love my Telegram family. It's just freedom over there. I can say what it's like America on Telegram. Telegram is like America, y'all, where you can say stuff, man. You don't have to go back and edit your stuff. I can say firing squad for Mike Pence on Telegram. And I'm not going to get banned for that because it's free speech. Also, I'm on rumble.com. Every video, every audio I do is on Rumble. So it's rumble.com/C/StephanRudd, or you can just follow me on there at StephanRudd. I'm also on Gab at Phon, Phon. Okay. I'm not there much at all, but you know, I use them as a backup when I have to. Okay. And lastly, the Phoncast.com is my website. Is probably down now because I'm having issues again with the host. And so I got to change over to somewhere else. Okay. So we're in a position now where things are getting a little bit heated up out there. And you guys are getting tired. I'm getting tired. But we have to let this thing play out the way that it is, because we're getting ready to experience some serious network issues, I believe, in the country. And this is an article that came out in The Blaze on June. This is June 8th. Okay, so it's like days ago. It says CNN, New York Times, British government, the whole entire British government, and myriad other websites go dark amid massive worldwide outage. It says a massive worldwide internet outage has impacted major websites, including Amazon, the New York Times, CNN, Reddit, Twitter, and Twitch. This is a big website, by the way. So, it says the site's content delivery network, CDN, U.S.-based company called Fastly, announced that the issue has been identified and a fix is being implemented, and many of the sites initially impacted by the outage appear to have been restored within an hour's time. So what I'm seeing here is, y'all, this here was not no regular outage. This is a test. They wanted to see if they can hit, you know, one of I was just telling guys yesterday that they're going to hit, you know, data centers, and they're going to try to take out the data. What happened in Nashville? What was in Nashville? What was in Nashville over there? It was the AT&T and some other data centers. and they hit it with either a missile or a satellite, a laser strike, whatever they hit it with. Well, this is back in like December of last year, right before Christmas, they hit it with a missile or something. Why? The comms went out in the area for a couple miles, so they hit it with that, and I guess it was too obvious. People were recording what happened, and they saw something come in from the sky, either a missile or a laser or something, come from the sky and hit the ground before impact, rather before the explosion. So I guess that was a test to see if they can do that in plain sight, and they were caught. So now they are experimenting with other kinds of things here, calling hacks, okay? They realize now we can't just hit it with a missile because it's going to, or a laser because it's going to draw attention. There's too many eyeballs on the scene. So what they're doing now is, and they've been practicing, you know, for the last few months now, in Texas during the wintertime, with the power grid. They did it with the gas pipeline. You hear me? So they're now calling these things cyber hacks. Now, this is the interesting part about this here, because we're discussing cyber hacks now, and people think that, well, there's a guy somewhere in a facility somewhere, maybe the basement of mama's house somewhere, and he's remotely hacking these places without having to be physically there. That's not true, y'all. Almost every single hack, cyber hack, requires a back door. Now, I have to either get the software to your computer through a download where you give me permission by downloading a malicious software, or I got to send somebody to the building to install the software on your computers, on the main computer. That's how it works. And once I have the software that gives me the back door, you cannot just hack it, especially a military grade system like the Pentagon. You have to have a software already in place. So when the Pentagon was hacked last year, I think around October-ish or maybe before that, I think it was August or something of last year during Trump's term, when the Pentagon was hacked, it was SolarWinds software that they were using to hack it. SolarWinds software had back doors in their systems, right? And they were being hacked through that. And that was a test to see what they could do. And now they're doing it with the pipeline. You cannot hack a pipeline. They have fail safes at different checkpoints all throughout the pipeline. You literally have to go in to different checkpoints at the same time and shut them all down at the same freaking... There was a guy that came on the radio when it happened. He was talking about this. He worked on the pipeline. He was one of the guys in charge of making sure that it stays up. He was like, there's no way in the world that this thing happened through a hack. Because he says, I worked there. You have to be physically there and shut down fail safes at the right time, because it's all on timers and stuff. They trigger off of, you know, an outage or whatever, an attack or a tippet attack. It'll trigger, you know, the fail safes. So he says physically, you got to be physically in, you know, there to manually shut down each the pipeline at each checkpoint, whatever he calls it, key point in the pipeline. So there's no way in the world that it was shut down merely by some Russian sitting behind a computer typing on the screen, unless a software was installed. But even the guy said then, he said, even then you have to manually shut it down. He said, after you hack the computer systems, you still have to shut down the system manually. And see, this is not coming out, you know, and I saw a lot of the press, the Senate hearing on that. The CEO was up there talking about it. He wasn't explaining this. So anyway, we have this hack here now, right? Let me read more of this here. Says that this is now another hack now that's occurring that hit the internet grid. Watch this here. The site's content. I read it already. The company confirmed a global disruption, according to Engadget. A global disruption, and began investigating the issue in the early hours of Tuesday morning. Other affected sites, the outlet reported, included Al Jazeera Media, left-wing media, by the way, network, GitHub, gov.uk, the whole entire UK government went down, HBO Max, Hulu, PayPal, Shopify, we can go on. They basically ran a test to see if they can shut down the grid. The internet grid. So they're going on to explain how things changed the market, you know, but that's not important here. That part I don't care about. My point is they're setting us up for the next big attack, the next false flag. Are you hearing me? And they're getting nervous because now the Arizona audit will be done on Monday, y'all. On Monday. The 14th is when they're done. Now, at any time after Monday, on or after Monday, we could be hearing the results of this thing. The Georgia, you know, election audit, whatever, that's going to be starting probably next week or the week after that. And theirs is going to be easier because they're not doing 2.1 million ballots. They're only looking at 147,000. Trump only so-called lost there by what? I think 12,000, something like that. So, and they're finding out that the majority, someone said all of the military ballots, the military mail-in ballots, all of them were for Biden. Not even one for Trump. Has that ever happened before in history of mankind? 147,000 ballots. Some of them, you know, a lot of them military ballots. And every single military ballot went to Biden. And I think 90 to 95% of all the ballots that came in that batch were for Biden, right? In a state that's typically red. That he didn't even you know win in the primaries, in the down ballots, and of course they cheated Kelly Loeffler, and they cheated Mark Perdue, because they used the same machines later on the runoffs, and now they're saying that Mark Perdue won his race the first time around. He won the first time around, and possibly Kelly Loeffler, which I don't really care about her anymore because she betrayed the POTUS. When she, you know, days later, when she lost, she betrayed the POTUS by saying she's for them moving ahead of the, you know, with the count in Congress. So she's a fraud too. Anyway, here's a piece here, and so all that's happening now, and we have PA, what's the guy's name, Senator Mastriano, whatever his name is, great guy that was giving, he was leading the Senate hearing, the state Senate hearing, back in December when it was having going around and discussing the fraud. He was the one doing the majority of the speaking over there. Okay, he was the bald guy, almost bald. He was not bald, but he kind of like almost bald. He was the one doing all that talking. He was on fire, man. He was like talking. He was like a preacher to me. I was like, whoa, go ahead, man. I'm ready to pay tithes to you. Anyway, so. Here goes a piece here in the MSN News, and they're quoting the USA Today magazine. It says, yes, the internet fails, colon, outages like Fastly will happen. You hear this? This is the headline. Outages like Fastly's, the one that hit, you know, that I just read before, I just read in the other piece, will happen. Of course, you know, it says, here's how to... Let me go ahead and read this thing here. The internet took a hit early Tuesday with a short-lived but massive outage shuttering online destinations as diverse as Amazon, Google, Reddit, Twitch, USA Today, CNN, The New York Times. Oh, now we're naming more outlets. CNN, New York Times. So they're beginning to discover that they can shut down the internet without having to blow it up again, you know, anymore. Right. Within an hour or so, cloud content company Fastly corrected the error, and sites began operating again. So it was a short test. Expect such outages to be the norm, because this wasn't the first time, nor will it be the last. in which online outages wreak havoc with our everyday lives. So they're now projecting that they're getting ready to do this again. They're getting ready to black out the internet again. They figured out how to do it in a way that makes it look like it's not, you know, it's not them doing it, or a missile or something, or an explosion. They figured out how to do it, and now they want to do it again. Now watch this here. This is a piece here. This is a piece from the Daily Mail UK edition. And this is from June 8th as well. Now watch this here. This one here is kind of strange because this is happening at the same time as the cyber attack, right? Same day, right? They hit the internet and took down the websites with CNN and whatever, so on and so forth. Cyber criminals target Congress. Really? Why wasn't that in the news? 60 members from both parties. Now, when you hear them say both parties, it's probably like, you know, the same five that voted against Trump in the impeachment hearings. It's the Romneys and whoever else, you know, those five idiots, you know. So when they always find one or two, you know, GOP hacks, and they say, oh, it's bipartisan. Because you got one person on the other side. Man, shut up, man. So anyway, cyber criminals target Congress. 60 members from both parties are left unable to access data for weeks in latest ransomware attack. A hack. So now you're telling us that weeks ago they got hacked, and they haven't been able to access their data yet. Now here's the people say, well, it's just a hack. This is Congress, y'all. They're not using, you know, some software they bought at Walmart. They have software that is specifically designed to protect them from these kinds of things. They have so many FAFSA. If you ever worked before, I have, in the federal government, you don't just hack the federal government, y'all. I was NIH employee for a while, and my brother still is. He's an officer over there now. He's a GS. I won't put that there, but he's been there for like 20 years, and he's pretty high ranking over there. And my father was my father used to be NIH. Then he was a Pentagon for a while. He was former military. He was Army. And then my mama, she's now passed, but for three years ago she passed. But she used to be OPM over there. Used to be me and her were down there on the campus down in Bethesda, right across the street from Walter Reed Hospital, Medical Hospital, whatever, where the president goes. We was down there for a couple of years. Well, I was down there for a couple of years, but my mom was there for a long time. But the point is, you do not hack the government. You do not hack the government. When we was there, there were no hacks. Like, you couldn't hack the government, man. Not saying it wasn't impossible, but you had to have a back door to get in there. Like, you couldn't even send out, you know, you couldn't even send out emails back then. Anyway, you probably can't now, but back then when I was there, it was before we had like iPhones. We didn't have no iPhones. There were no smartphones. It was analog. You had a regular small phone or bigger phone. It was a big phone. But it was a regular phone that was black and had like this greenish gray background with black letters. That was it. And if you wanted to send someone a text message, you couldn't because it didn't exist yet. You had to go ahead and get your beeper out and type in a couple of numbers and turn it upside down. or what we did was we would have codes set up. And I would, and this is before smartphones came out, and we had codes set up where, you know, one meant something, 2, 25, whatever. We had different numbers, and we knew what the codes meant. So I can just beep you and give you a code, and you say, "Oh God, he's in trouble." Okay, it's back in those times, so it's probably different now. I haven't been there in 20 years, but it's probably different now. But when I was there, you couldn't even do that stuff. Okay. It was impossible to hack the government, and you couldn't even send an email you couldn't like go to like a browser like Hot back then was Hotmail, go to Hotmail.com and send an email from there. You had to use you could, but you know they try to stop you, like the firewalls They stop a lot of stuff from coming in and out. The point that I'm making is the security is like so elite. Like we had to use their email systems, right? Because it was secured. And they will, you know, catch, you know, any viruses or catching any phishing attempts in process. So the only way to get phished back then was to purposely give out your password to somebody. So you don't just hack the government, y'all. It's very complex. It's hard. You need a back door. It says at least 60 members of Congress from both parties have been unable to access data for weeks in the latest ransomware attack. And ransomware is not a word for cyber attack. The target was I constituent. Now we have a new company. We have SolarWinds for hacking the Pentagon. We have a dark side that's supposedly hacking the pipelines. Now it's I constituent that hacked the Congress. Really? So you're saying that different groups are hacking, different groups are competent enough to hack the government? And various pipelines and grids? Come on, y'all. Come on, man. It's not possible. It's the same group going by different names. So they hacked it, you know, it's the latest cyber attack after a series of hacks against the U.S. executive branch. And American companies have left many institutions feeling vulnerable. And the Biden administration struggling to deal with. See, now they're struggling. Now they're being attacked. What are they trying to do? They're trying to blame it on Russia, y'all. What kind of files can you access through Congress? And what a clever way to disguise, to hide your evidence. Where you know what happened on January 6th. And you have hours and hours of video footage that you're not, you know, showing the public. Or you have email correspondences from you to Antifa leaders. I wonder what they're hiding. I wonder what they're going to blame on. Well, it was a hack. I lost some files. And see, now we're seeing them form the narrative that they've been hacked. One more in this category. This is from the Daily Mail. It says meat supplier JBS paid $11 million in Bitcoin to hackers. And the JBS supplies food to the world, basically. Not the whole time, you know, but they have food going to different parts of the world. So now we're talking about hacking now. And the narrative in the news is all about cyber hacking because they want it because they have to engineer food shortages, gas shortages. They have to get to try to find ways to make it look like basically it's fear. We want to scare the people because we want them to trust in us for their safety. That's all it is, y'all. And at the same time, they're also setting the narrative up so that when they have the CenturyLink blackout. Because of the results of the election, people are getting arrested, people are going to jail, the election is overturning. Because of that alone, they have to have, you know, this blackout to stop the flow. How many hours in a day does it take to spin one story, y'all? You got like 20, like 5-6 lives out there to spin. How many hours does it take to spin one lie into a truth? How many days in a week? They spend weeks spinning, you know, just one big lie away. It takes them weeks, and they're still struggling to get the lie, their lie believed. Rather, I meant to say the truth away. You know, they spend weeks on that. So now they got like 5 or 6 of them. You know, they got election fraud, child trafficking, you know, treason, interference in election, in grids. Because people aren't believing this. They have the pandemic now. Fauci's out there being accused of knowing about HCQ before. Now, it's not been accused. It's being proven. It's in the emails. He's being exposed. I mean, they have to cover up so many or explain so many truths into a lie at one time. That at some point in time, they're going to get frustrated and say, you know what? We can't. It's too much. Let's just kill the grid. And so we're seeing them set things up for that very purpose. I'm going to read one article from a different topic, but I think it's related. This is from a day ago from the BBC News. There's an app called Anom out there. And Anom was an app that was created to catch criminals in the act of planning and organizing crimes. Anom, colon, this is headline. Anom, colon, hundreds arrested in massive global crime sting using messaging app. The operator, So the FBI began operating an encrypted device called network called Anom, and covertly distributed devices with the chat app among the criminal underworld via informants. The idea for the operation came after two other encrypted platforms were taken down by law enforcement agencies, leaving criminal gangs in the market for new secure phones. So basically, they caught these, they captured 800 criminals worldwide from Australia to the U.S. Okay, they arrested them. They got this is 8 tons of cocaine. That's a lot of cocaine. That's a lot of free cocaine. That'll get your entire family 100 years in jail. Okay, that everyone in your household right now will get 100 years in jail. That's a lot of cocaine. 48 million dollars in they say various currencies, including cryptocurrencies. Okay, which I don't believe that, because criminals don't use crypto, because you can track that crap. It's the dumbest argument in the world. The criminals use Stefan, but I read an article. And in an article it says the criminals use Bitcoin. I don't trust Bitcoin. I'm not getting it. Are you serious? Like, what were they using before Bitcoin? U.S. dollar, right? Do you trust that? I mean, if you're serious now, you know, when you go to the corner, of B-more. I'm sorry, that's Baltimore for y'all. Go to the corner of B-more. They're not buying drugs using crypto coin. They're using dollar bills. Organized crime has used money for decades, for millennia. Well, not millennia, but you know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. I mean, maybe have. How long the U.S. dollar was around? 20 years? They've been using that for 20 years. But we're worried about crypto coins. It's not even a real coin. It's all digital. And how did they catch the pipeline ransomers and get the money back? They simply look at where the Colonial Pipeline people sent the money to. Hello, I'll tell you. But one of the things that was shocking, and I didn't read that piece, that part of the story about the GPS, is that they paid the ransom to the people that stole, that had them ransomed, right? Blackmailed, whatever you call it, leveraged. And in the story, it said it was shocking that they admitted to having paid them with Bitcoin. Why was that shocking? And they never explained. But I'm gonna go ahead and explain for him, the writer. It's shocking because, this is my opinion, y'all. It's shocking to them because they know how easy it is to track Bitcoin. It's digital. It's secured by blockchain. When you send the money, you have to send it to an address. In order to have an address, you have to validate that address before you even set it up in your wallet. All right, your digital wallet online. You have to set it up. You have to go through. There are protocols. There are procedures to verify that you are the person that owns that address or live with that address. So you have to send it to an account that's tied to a real address. Think about what I just said. And then the government recovered to half the money, but they didn't catch the criminals. What? How can you find the money but not find the criminals that ransomed the pipeline? Unless the criminals are you, and you got your payoff. It was a $5 million ransom, and you got your two point two million, your payoff for playing along. This is how they pay people off. Now JBS, the same thing. There was another company in New York last week that I didn't read the article on that one there, but they got ransom. They had the same thing happen to them, and they paid off with Bitcoin in the billions. Y'all, they're money. They're laundering money. Are you understanding what they are laundering money to deep state operatives that are moving the agenda of the deep state? They couldn't do it with the book deals because the book deals were with Fauci. You know, remember now he had a book deal that got sidetracked. Now it got shelved because of the fact. Oh, not shelved. It got. They canceled the pre-orders because he was in the news for all the stuff that he lied about. The payoffs are being noticed. So they're doing cyber hacks now. And they're laundering money like that. This is why the Nom story is important to me. Because they only listen to the people who sold drugs and so on. They never listen to that. But I'm wondering, did they catch these people arranging crimes, Governor Kemp's? This is a global app, y'all. And I want you to hear something, because here's another story here. This is the same topic here, Anom. This is from the news.com.au. See, sometimes you have to go somewhere else to get news, a different country to get news, because they report on the U.S. more accurately than the U.S. does. It says, messages Australian criminals sent in a Nom messaging app organizing murders and drug deals. Now, I'm gonna skip down way down here. Way down here. There's a lot of words here. And I'm gonna read it to you because I could just tell you, but I want you to hear for yourself. If I can find it, I'm gonna have too much dead air here. But the app here was created by the Australian government working with the FBI, okay? And I just tell you, because I didn't highlight it this time, but they caught a lot of people trafficking drugs, a lot of murder for hire plots. I wonder, if people got killed who was tied to the Clinton, who was hit by the Clintons. But what I found really intriguing here was that the app was created 3 years ago. Well, who was president 3 years ago? Who ran the FBI? Remember now, the president is the senior officer of the entire federal government. The federal executive branch of the government. So the FBI, CIA, NIA, DIA, whatever, all those guys there, DHS, they all work for the president. Okay, doesn't matter what state they're based in. They are, if they are into law enforcement or intelligence gathering, they are. They literally work for the president. He's the CEO of that entire thing, so to speak, right? So I know we had some people who were bad players, bad actors in the FBI, but you have to remember, y'all. The FBI is full of like 100 and it's over 100,000 people that work there. It's more than, it's like 140,000. It's a lot of people who work there in the FBI. You got maybe like 1,000 of them, maybe less than that. They're the ones who are complete morons. They're the ones who are hacks. And you got the foot soldiers, the boots on the ground people, who don't sit in the office all day long, the ones who go out there in the field and actually work. The majority of those guys, they're legitimate people. They're patriots, whether they're a Democrat or Republican, they are patriots and they care about the law, okay? And so my point is here, Trump had these people create this app while he was president, somewhere around 2018. He was in control of the, it may have even been Sessions. He may have been the one to order it. So he had this app created to trap the people. I wonder if he was trying to trap the deep state as well. I wonder if, because this app was global, why blow up your cover now? Think about a minute. Why blow your cover now at this time? Well, you could probably catch more people. Well, why put out an ad, or rather a news story, brag about how many people you arrested around the world using an app that was not recognized as a federal government ran app, an FBI app, unless you're getting ready to expose something. So you set the stage. You put out the information. You begin to let the people know that we caught a whole lot of criminals using third-party apps to commit crimes. And I wonder, remember now in the piece, Anom was not just a regular app. It was a messaging app. Which means somebody discussed election fraud on his app. Somebody discussed putting a hit on one of Brian Kemp's, one of Kelly Loeffler's staffers, or whoever it was. I think it was Loeffler. Somebody discussed, whatever. Are you hearing me? They're only telling you who they caught, but it's only a portion of who they caught. Because when all the comms were destroyed by Trump, remember now they use gaming chat, they use all kinds of chat things, whatever, and email stuff, and Trump was monitoring all that stuff. So he must have had somebody that he trusted create an app in a store on Apple, and Apple had to cooperate with this. Apple had to know about this. Who uses Apple, y'all? Government officials. Are you hearing me? I don't think it was an Android app. Because in the piece it says that it was an Apple app. And it's hard to get an app approved in Apple. But so that means that if it was approved in Apple, then they Apple knew about it too, and they were in on it. They allowed it to happen. So I'm thinking that they're getting ready to release some serious information about who they called. And just them letting folks know in the news, hey y'all, Anom, the app that people been using, caught criminals committing crimes, right? I think that's the beginning of the narrative. And when you put it in, notice how it's not being covered too much by anyone else. You don't see it on CNN. You don't see it on Fox. You don't see it on, it's not on news. You don't hardly see it anywhere. I mean, maybe it is. And they might hit it and walk away from it, but you don't really see it. It's not really big news. It should be big news. I wonder if they caught people selling kids. I want to know if they caught child traffickers. So this to me is it's in the news. It's not a small story to me. It's a huge story. It's a huge story because the point of the story, this is just my opinion. I don't have any intel, but I'm going to monitor the story, over the next few months, whatever, to see what happens here. But in my opinion, this story is a setup for when they're getting ready to explain the fraud, the crimes that were committed. And you can see people, and I think we're going to see people, maybe some screenshots of text logs at some point in time from sitting people in politics, arranging hits, arranging maybe they sent Antifa there. Maybe they gave Antifa orders using an encrypted app that they thought was above the FBI's head and they couldn't even detect it. I mean, I'm just saying here, y'all. This is not a small story, but the point is with them testing out the internet signals, the connections, and trying to see who they can knock out as far as internet connection, I think we're getting ready to see that blackout. The Arizona audit is over on Monday. We have the Georgia starting soon. Mike Flynn said the other day that they're going to be done the whole thing in 3 to 4 weeks, maybe sooner, because the machines are already being audited forensically right now by the Arizona auditors, right? So after their machines are audited and fraud is proven to be intentional with the machines, you don't need to audit the machines anymore. In any other state, you don't have to audit it in Georgia and Pennsylvania. They may, just to, you know, make sure that it's the same thing happening over here. But the machines had the same, every machine had the same software. All of them were tied to routers. All of them had the same, you know, the same programs. All of them were wired the same way. So once the machines are proven to be fraudulent, then the systemic part of the fraud becomes obvious, and it becomes irrefutable. You can't say, well, these machines were changed, but nothing else was, because they were tied to the internet. Even if those machines were the only machines that were hacked, it was tied to the internet, which means that they could expand that hack to the other machines. Now watch this here. I'm going to close here. So what was the cause of the hack of the election? A software called Dominion. What's the hack on the Pentagon? SolarWinds. A software called SolarWinds. What was the hack that was on the pipeline? They say it was DarkSide, but by it being a cyber hack, it means that there has to be a software somewhere installed. We can go on. I just read a story about the Congress. A group called iConstituent, which I don't believe. Something is going on, y'all. The deep state is now explaining how the hacks work without even realizing it. They're not very smart people at all. I mean, these people here, man, they got degrees in Yale and Harvard, Ivy League degrees. Just my uneducated 5-year-old is smarter than people. Like he can tell me what something is, and by the way, he knows what a boy is and what a girl is. He's not confused about that at all. We go to the store, 4 years old. We go to the store. He look on a sign. He knows exactly what bathroom he's supposed to go in. She's liberal. Liberal ain't sure which bathroom he or she or it belongs to. But they can't even explain. They're explaining how hacks work without even realizing it. And Trump is allowing it to happen because he knows that they're doing the work for him. And when they're done, and then the audits are over, then now suddenly, because they have been talking about hacks for the last 6 months, now it suddenly isn't so hard to believe that somebody hacked the election. Oh, you're saying that they can hack the power grid, the food grid, the gas line grid? They can hack the Pentagon, they can hack Congress, but they can't hack an election. And they don't even have a clue that they're walking right into the trap. Bunch of idiots. But thank God they're stupid, because now we're going to see a change. And we're going to see it happen fast. And the people that were called crazy, like myself, will be looked at like, well, how did you know this? Some people are so brain dead, they're gonna hate you more because you knew before they did. You were right. When you're right, a stupid person, when you're right to a stupid person, they'll hate you more because you were right. And they'll double down on you being wrong, even though you're right in their mind. This is my truth. There is no such thing as your truth. There is the truth, and there is the lie. You don't get to change the truth around to fit your needs, your agenda. So we're almost there, y'all. It's been a long journey, but I think we're close to seeing this thing come to an end. But it won't be over even then, because now his next move is to go after the central bankers, take them down. and then do a reset. And then after that, there's still going to be some people that, you know, would try to stop him from moving forward with the agenda. So this is going to be a long fight, y'all. But we're almost to the end of the most dangerous part of it. And if God willing, everything will work out in favor of the Constitution and America and the Americans. And we'll set the stage for the entire world and become the country again that everyone loves. And hopefully we can spread, you know, the same spirit of America out there to everyone else, where they can have freedom of religion in every country, which won't happen. I don't think it will, because the Bible doesn't say it will. But you still must strive for that regardless. People say, well, I'm not going to even try because the Bible already said it. It's not going to be that way according to the word of God. And I'm like, just shut up, man. You're still tasked to try. Like, what if Jesus said, well, I ain't dying for them because half of them going to hell anyway. Either way. If Jesus said that, then, you know, we're all lost. You still have to try. You still have to push for the agenda to be done. Just like, you know, in church, when you're preaching the gospel church, everyone in the church ain't saved. Everyone in the church ain't getting saved. But you still must try. So we must try to spread this American spirit to the rest of the world, okay? We must get this country fixed first, spread it around, so all of mankind can experience freedom. I'll see you tomorrow or another day. Love you. God bless you.